I see a 13, verse 1. When Ephraim spoke with trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. When he became guilty in Baal, he died. I think that God was so in love with his people, he so wanted their repentance, that he almost fantasizes about the words that he thinks they would say, and he fantasizes about their repentance, just as this was all reflected and played out in the real life of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea, the prophet who married the prostitute Gomer, representing God's people. He likewise was very angry with her, and yet he loved her and kept hoping that she would return to him. And this trembling, when Ephraim spoke with trembling, I think that this is repentance. Hosea 3 verse 5, afterward the children of Israel will return and seek Yahweh their God, and shall come with trembling to Yahweh. Well, the idea then was that they would repent. Well, they didn't. That's the tragedy of the book of Hosea, that we're now coming towards the end of it. And no, there is no famous final scene where Gomer, as an old beat-up woman, throws her arms around. Hosea looks in his eyes and says, look, I recognize what a whore I've been. But now I love you. Thank you that you patiently loved me. And they lived happily ever afterwards and shall be resurrected and shall hold hands forever and ever in God's kingdom. Amen. The end. No, that is not how it finishes, is it, unfortunately? It's not how God's love for Israel is finished. It's not how his love for so many people has finished. If ever there was the old tragedy of love unrequited, you know, the lover who is so in love with the girl, but she pays no attention to him and goes off with others, and he jumps at every possible sign she might be interested in him, but she isn't. You know, this is the old classic story, isn't it? But fascinating as we find that, and we must as human beings find it fascinating because it's the theme of so much artistry in various forms, the ultimate love unrequited is of God for Israel and for us, his people, which is so often spurned. That, by the way, in a strange way motivates me to want to go out to people, particularly to Jewish folks, and to say, look, don't refuse him. Accept his love. Because the tragedy of that love unrequited is so great. Well, again, back to verse 1. When Ephraim spoke with trembling, this is when he would bring those words of repentance to God, and Hosea 3 says, come with trembling to Yahweh, then he would be exalted. Now, this is the great paradox, that humility is what leads to exaltation. But instead, he continued in the worship of Baal and died. So, actually, worshipping Baal was the very opposite of trembling in repentance before Yahweh. And all the time, it is because of pride. That is the whole reason for idolatry. It's why people don't repent, because they are too proud. And therefore, they don't know God. They don't have this relationship with God. Now, verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. This connects back with verse 1. The intention was that Ephraim would repent and speak with trembling, and then he would be exalted in God's eyes. But instead, they didn't do that because their heart was exalted by their wealth. Going back to Hosea and Gomer, I suggested in chapter 2 that he pretty well gave all his wealth to Gomer, and she just blew it, actually paying men with Hosea's money to come and sleep with her. So that when in chapter 3 he has to go again and marry a woman who is loved of another, he can only find to pay the dowry 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. He has to pay in cash and kind because he simply clearly hasn't got the money. And there's not a huge amount of money. I mean, the price of a servant was 30 shekels of silver, and he could come up with 15, but he couldn't get the other 15 shekels. He gave a bit of barley instead. Well, that, paradoxically enough, is what actually led Gomer further away from him. And so it is here that God loved his people. He gave them all the things that he gave them. And they were filled and their heart was exalted against him. This is the tragedy, that God gives people so much and it leads them against him. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, Deuteronomy 32. This is exactly how it is. God loves us and he wants to bless us, but when he blesses us with material stuff, what happens? People's hearts are lifted up. It's a bit of a mystery why on earth people should think that, oh yeah, God wants you to be wealthy, healthy and wealthy. This is the prosperity gospel. This is not true. Who wants to be wealthy? Look what it does. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Well, here in verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Wealth leads to pride. Didn't you notice? Sure. You can't surely walk through your life with your eyes shut to that degree. Wealth leads to pride, and God doesn't want us to be proud. So that he would give us any wealth or whatever is quite amazing. And so he goes on, so they were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore they have forgotten me. So it's this pride that leads to forgetting God. I've got all that I need. Actually, God gave it to you. Therefore, I shall forget God. It's tragic. Absolutely tragic. I'm not surprised that most believers have not been given wealth by God. That sort of makes sense to me. It makes sense to me why the majority of truly Christian believers down the centuries have been poor people. I don't say everybody, no, but the majority, vast bulk. Yeah, that makes sense. Because God wants to save us. He doesn't want us to forget him. And that, unfortunately, is where wealth leads. And forgetting God leads to forgetting our sins. As we saw in verse 1, God's hope was that Ephraim would come trembling in repentance and then God could exalt them. But no, they forgot God. Forgetting God is forgetting your own sinfulness. And so verse 12, the guilt of Ephraim is stored up. His sin is stored up. That's a very powerful idea, because there is within all of us a tendency to assume that the passing of time, that the passage of the years, will work a kind of quasi-atonement, a sort of pseudo-reconciliation. But, that was a long time ago now. That was ages ago. Don't bother me about that. I don't know what quite happened. No, that is not how God's mind works. The guilt of Ephraim is stored up. His sin is stored up. It's not that God is, just eager to keep a record of wrongs. He's not eager to keep any record of wrongs. He very, very easily puts a red line through it all and scribbles it and throws it. Very easily. But we've got to want that. We've got to repent. We've got to ask him for that. And so I think one thing that arises out of this is when you sin, and we all sin, I hope not think that we don't. Repent straight away. Repent as soon as you can, because the longer you leave it, the passage of time will lead you to sort of write the narrative another way in your own mind, that, what happened was it? She provoked me. I was in that situation, you see, and what he did was this, and okay, so I didn't respond the best, but, we simply forget. I can't tell you what sin I committed on the, 6th of December 1983, standing at a bus stop in Grove Park in South London, and, 6:45 GMT time. I can't tell you. I forgot it. whatever. So, yeah, repent straight away. And be very aware in your talking with God, in your prayer life, that you haven't repented of all your sins. Some you forgot about, some you renegotiated in your own mind. And that's how it is. And just recognize that before God. And I think that helps you to humility. And it also helps you to cut slack in forgiving others who clearly are not repentant of their sins. If you recognize that, like David, you pray for God to forgive you my secret sins, the sins that either I don't recognize as sins or sins I forgot about or haven't repented of, whatever reason, but please forgive me for them all. If that's how you pray, and God will hear you, he will, and do pray for those things. If God will hear you, which he will, then you also need to likewise cut total slack to the people who sin against you and don't repent. Forgive them too.